Not So Live from Asteroid G, selling ourselves out for a tiny alien. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hi, your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, channeling his inner Oberyn Martell, because I don't care, I love Pedro Pascal. Yeah, we're talking about The Mandalorian and Grogu. Let's talk about it. I know you have feels. I have feels, too.
Oh my god, I have so many feels about this. And it's just... So, it's not that I went in there to hate this movie. And in fact, I don't hate this movie. There are Star Wars movies I like a whole lot less than this stupid movie.
For sure, for sure.
Like, episode 9 is an absolute fucking train wreck that I will never enjoy. J.J. Abrams dropped the fucking ball on that. And it basically...
I do not count that. Like, someone asked me, like, I went to my local cannabis shop.
Yeah.
And it was May the 4th, obviously. And so they were doing trivia. If you could name, you know, do Star Wars trivia, they'd give you, like, a couple bucks off or whatever. And I nailed, like, all of them because, you know, I love Star Wars too, like you do. But she asked something about episode 9. I was like, that doesn't exist in my pantheon of Star Wars in my head. I've already blacked that from my memory. So we'll move on to another question.
It's got into the same memory hole as every Highlander movie past the first one.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But 9 is crap, and 9 was so crap that it kind of retroactively ruined the previous two movies that came before it. Not that 7 or 8 were necessarily great, but they weren't bad. But, you know, it's that... When a trilogy is awful, it ruins stuff. The third Matrix movie was so bad that it kind of killed the second movie, which wasn't terrible, but they go together and it sucks now. So, but this movie is just average. It's just meh. It's not something that needed to be in theaters. Honestly, I think if it had been 3 or 4 episodes on TV as like a fourth season, then... I probably wouldn't hate, like, I wouldn't care that much, but I don't think I would hate it with any sort of, like, vigor, you know? It's just, it would have just been fine.
Yeah. I went into this movie fully expecting to hate the ever-loving shit out of it, just because Star Wars has just really rubbed me raw the last, like, 10 years. But to be perfectly honest, like, I enjoyed myself with this movie. I was trying to tell it to you. I think if you can get past the fact that this is like just, you know, if you could not equate this with like the Star Wars that you know, that you hold near and dear, and just think of this like as a part of that universe and a story in there. And then granted, you know, Mandalorian, like they've really tied that in, and Grogu, obviously you're going to see Yoda. Like there's things there you can't avoid. I get that. But I think this is much more in the realm of the Star Wars movies like Rogue One. Now Rogue One, this is absolutely not, but like Rogue One is like, to me, peak Star Wars that we've gotten post like original 6. I would think this would fall more on that side for me of being a better Star Wars movie than some of the other mainline slop we've gotten over the past decade. I thought it was funny in some of the right places. There were some odd choices, though, like Grogu doesn't understand his powers quite a bit. You know, there was sometimes he's doing some stuff comedically. I'm you know better. Like, why are you still pushing buttons? Like, is that just an ongoing gag? But, like, getting past that, I thought it was an enjoyable movie. I saw it with my wife, who, you know, would enjoy it, too. So I had fun with her there. Did I think this was a great movie? No. But what did I have more fun that I expected to have going into it? I did. And I was surprised, and that made me feel pretty good walking out of it, to be honest.
I have thoughts.
I know. And I'm glad you let me get that out. I'm like, he's lining up. He's lining up. And everything you say, I know you. We've been doing this too long.
Everything I'm going to say, you're going to be like, well, he's not wrong.
You are not wrong. And I know that there's a part of me that feels the same way that you do about these things, and that's how this works. But I will say my initial thought of the movie was I had more fun with it than I expected. The best part of the movie to me, and maybe that's just because like that's how far Star Wars has fallen, were the little mechanic guys. Like, they were hilarious to me.
The Bob Fricks, yeah.
Yeah, they were the little languages and like the stuff. When he's looking at the thing, the Grogu's, oh, big pipe, huh? Like, my wife was dying in the theater. She thought it was so funny. And in turn, that made me have fun. So maybe it was the cuteness of that, but please, go ahead. Okay. I know where we're going with this, please.
And before we get to that, we want to first take a moment to thank our sponsors for the week. Have you ever looked outside and thought, this world is good, but it could be better? Most of us go about our days accepting the world as it is, but one man sees our true potential, understands that what makes us good could make us even better. That man is Lex Luthor, and he's there for you. When you need protection, Lex Defense is there. When you need assistance, LexCare is there. When you need a guiding hand to lead you into the future, LexCorp is there. Because who better to lead you than the man that led his company to the top of the stock market? LexCorp, better than any average Superman. Thank you to our sponsors.
Thank you, LexCorp, this week. Fantastic stuff there.
So let's get into this. Because what we have is functionally an episodic adventure. We have the Mandalorian getting called in to kick ass, which he does, I will credit that, called in to kick ass by capturing a Republic target. We really don't get much about the Republic target beyond bad guy associated with Empire. That's really the entire plot. Bad guys associated with Empire. So the Mandalorian is dragged in. He's given this assignment that we're seeing the tail end of. He's supposed to capture the guy. He doesn't capture the guy. Target dies. Empire guy dead. Oh, darn. But they don't have the information they want to get out of him. So Lieutenant, Sergeant, whatever, Major Domo, the person played by Sigourney Weaver, sends him on another mission to find this mysterious Imperial contact that they've never found before and don't know what he looks like. But he's supposed to get that information from the Hutts, the Hutt twins who have been seen in the Clone Wars and in other things after Jabba the Hutt died. They took over the Hutt Empire. And they want, in exchange for their information, Rhoda the Hutt, the young son of Jabba, who we last saw in the Clone Wars. And if Mando is able to get Rhoda and bring him back, then they'll give the information and they'll know where this target is and Mando can go get the target. But Rhoda has become kind of a winner in the arena system, which is completely ill-defined in the movie.
Gladiatorial kind of thing, you know.
Ish thing. He doesn't want to leave because he's a star, which, having seen him in combat later, he sucks at it. I don't know how this works, but that's okay.
There was an interesting fighting style. I noticed a lot of, like, you know, they're trying to throw alligator, like, references in there, like, with the spinning and the twisting and all. But, like, at the end of the day, it's a giant worm.
It was a giant worm who really wasn't that maneuverable. I don't know what any... Anyway, so... Mando has to try and convince Rhoda, which basically means that Rhoda gets backstabbed by the guy that's been employing him for reasons. And, like the guy wants to kill him because Rhoda wins too much, but, like, Rhoda would have been perfectly happy continuing to fight with the guy, so why doing that makes no sense. Anyway, Rhoda joins up with Mando to go back, but he doesn't want to go to the Hutts. He does have the information that Mando needs, though, so Mando doesn't have to work with the Hutts. That's a backstab. The Hutts don't like it, and then the whole back half of the movie is basically cleaning up that mess for reasons.
Right.
The issues I have with it are, first of all, it's very episodic. It reminds me in some ways of the first season of Mandalorian, when he would go to a place and he would do a thing. Then he'd go to a place and do another thing. And over time, you'd notice a little bit of connective tissue, but it was just basically random adventures. This one felt like random adventures with very little connective tissue to it. If these had been strung along in a 10-episode season with, like, other episodes in the middle, it would have felt like, oh, we're getting a callback to this thing that he did at the start of the season, and that's kind of cool and whatever, but it would be a continuing storyline. But in a movie, it still feels episodic, and you start to notice the lack of connective tissues to it. Like, it doesn't hold together as well as it should.
I mean, it's a problem that, you know, a lot of these, like, new movies have. You know, when there's too much plot, there's, you know, there's no cohesive plot. So completely valid. You know, they hit on the Republic looking for the fringes of the Empire to bring them to justice. But, like, you know, we get that in spurts here and there. And then it's CGI monster after CGI monster, which looked kind of cool. The monsters and the CGI did look all right. It had a Star Wars budget. So, you know, pretty good there. Again, like, what I liked in the movie, like, I knew you were going to have points that I would find valid. Is that completely valid?
Oh, yeah. I'm not done. I know you're so not done.
We've only covered about 45 minutes of the movie here, fam. This is a 2-hour movie. Like, we're getting there. Like, he's still going to be right as we move along.
It's still in theaters. I don't want to spoil too much. Well, I mean, it's not going to be in theaters for much longer. It's already crashing and burning. But it's
they're already pulling that at IMAX in favor of He-Man, and that's all you got to know there.
Yeah, it's doing its best impersonation of the Marvels, which is not a good thing. But the episodic nature and the lack of connective tissue is one problem. The second problem I have, which I think is a bigger issue, is that Mando is the wrong person for this story. There are people who could be in this movie that could work, maybe not as a bounty hunter, but as someone working for the New Republic to try and find these bad guys and bring them in and so forth. And they would have a stronger connection to it. For instance, Ahsoka, I think, has dealt with it, or set this during the time of Obi-Wan and make it an Obi-Wan movie or whatever. It doesn't have to be at The Mandalorian, except they wanted Baby Yoda in it. So Grogu shows up and we have to make it a Mando movie because they want to sell toys.
Right. I mean, fair.
But Mando has no connection to Rhoda. Mando has no connection to the Hutts. He's never worked for the Hutts before. Mando doesn't even have a connection to the New Republic. They kind of just hand wave that away and it's like, oh, he's working for them now. Why? He's not a character that's supposed to care about any of this shit.
In the purest form and lore of Star Wars, yeah, you're 100% right. And I know if Jay Shidell was here, he would completely agree with you. And I do agree with you. But like, I guess what I try to justify with that is like, to make this work as why Mando is this, you got to have him pick a side, right? And they really, it is about marketing. It is about selling the toys of Baby Yoda. I mean, you know, back in the day, people thought Boba Fett was cool. You know, the first Mandalorian we got introduced to in the series, and Boba Fett was a bad guy. And, you know, what Mandalorian was a good guy. This is just like this version's like generation's version of Boba Fett, I guess, in a way. And like, at least you got Pedro Pascal doing it. He's a good actor. I feel like he does bring as much as he can. You know, he's got the helmet on the whole movie at times, but like, maybe I've been jaded too. Like, I accept this being Star Wars now, at least in spirit, but I think it works better in the realm of it's just part of that universe rather than have the Star Wars name on it. But to your point, like, yeah, the Mandalorian, like, why is he on the good side, yes, if not just to sell toys?
Yes. You know, I'm winding up for this because, yeah, like, you feel it. I can tell you're feeling it.
I do.
But Mando did pick a side. He was on the side of the Mandalorians. He had literally just helped them bring down an Imperial outpost and secure their home world. They were ready to rebuild, and he was with them. There's no mention of them in this movie. This movie is completely disconnected from all of that. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of stakes. Mando is not a character you put into the story because he has no connection to it. So he has no arc here. Mando at the start of the movie is the same character as he is at the end of the movie. Hell, Grogu at the start of the movie is the same character as he is at the end of the movie. They wander through this film doing stuff, but the only characters that have actual arcs are like the Hutts. This is a Hutt movie that Mando just so happens to be starring in. Like, it's
funny. That's a good point.
It reminds me in a way of another failed movie from Disney that we talked about recently, Captain America Brave New World, which was a Hulk movie that Captain America just so happened to be starring in. This is a Hutt movie that Mando is starring in. And while he does a good job of going from place to place and kicking ass and having adventures, he doesn't have any reason to be here beyond I'm getting paid. He doesn't even get pissed off at the Hutts for any particular reason. He's just there.
Yeah, maybe that's Grogu's, you know, forcing this rubbing off on him. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe he's found that inner peace and he's just like, you know, I'm just going to do right by myself and the little kid now. Like, I don't know.
If he's found inner peace, he shouldn't be starring in a movie. That's he has no reason to be there. His plot is over.
You use the stones to destroy the stones. Like, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I get it.
This is a big issue for me. Your protagonist has to have an arc. Yeah. Mando is the good guy in this movie, but he's not a protagonist because he doesn't actually change. He causes change to happen, but this is the first time I think I've literally seen an antagonist in the starring role of a movie, because again, the person he influences change upon is Rhoda. Rhoda is technically the protagonist, but he's in the background for most of the film and doesn't have key scenes. He just kind of shows up once in a while and stuff happens around him. But if anyone has like a character arc, it's Rhoda. Mando doesn't have an arc. He's an antagonist who just so happens to be the lead character and the title guy on the movie, which wouldn't have been so hard for them to just give him some reason to be here. The movie skips that by dumping him right in the middle of the New Republic and having him already on a mission. We've skipped the part where the character actually has a reason to fucking be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I didn't think about that, that the hero's journey wasn't there in any way
for him. He's not even Arthur Dent happening to just drop into a story and then trying to figure his shit out. Yeah, he's just there.
Yeah. I don't know who grew in this movie aside from Rhoda. Like,
aside from Rhoda,
know,
yeah.
Yeah, he came to grips with, you know, being Jabba's son and, you know, outdoing and being, the, you know, the guy and getting revenge and, you know, coming out clean in the end or whatever. But, like, I, that's an interesting point. And you know what? I'm not going to let that detract from my enjoyment.
I'm not going to stop enjoying
a good movie. I'm not going to, like, while that point is valid, did I still have fun during the movie? Yes.
So that's why I don't call it a bad movie. I call it mediocre. I rate it around the same as Solo, that movie. Because sure, that's another adventure where you just have a character show up and just wander through adventures. Well, I think Solo may have had a slight bit more of an arc, but not much, because he's a prequel character who can only grow so far.
Into what we know he is.
Yeah, basically he can start off somewhere who's slightly less scoundrelly to become more of a scoundrel, and then, oh look, we have Han Solo, we're exactly where we need to be. But this is how he gets Chewie. The bear is now following him around when he takes a shortcut and skips some parsecs. Woo! But like, that's my summary of Solo, A Star Wars Story. You guys are all welcome. But
thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you. We're good. We're good. Yeah. Yay, bear. We're good. This is the same kind of movie there. It's just episodic. Shit happens. Yeah. Funny shit happens. There's good action. There's comedy. It's entertaining at a very base level. And I didn't hate Solo either. I thought Solo was enjoyable for what it was. But I don't sit here going, yeah, you know, I could go watch Solo again. Like, it's not one of the movies that I care that much about. This is a mid-level Star Wars movie, which, if it was coming out in between something bigger, like Solo did, wouldn't be such a big deal to me. It's like, okay, whatever, it's fine. It's a mediocre one, but they've got this run of good ones going on. You know, we're peak. It's fine. But this is the first Star Wars movie we've had in 7 years. And it's basically the franchise more or less having taken a break from theaters, trying to relaunch itself now for general audiences. And on that front, whatever you think of the movie as a base movie, on that front, it sucks, because it's a terrible reintroduction to the franchise.
It is. This, like, that's a very good point too, because, like, you know, this, it does boil down to, you're taking something that started out as a show and turning it into a movie rather than the other way around, and you're trying to use that to launch yourself into the next arc that you're taking this franchise and series, and it's a very weak beginning to whatever genesis that might be.
Yeah.
However, that's not going to take away from my enjoyment of the movie.
You're going to stick to your guns.
I'm going to stick to my guns there, because, like, I mean, we've gotten some serious slop over the last decade, man. Like, they have taken Star Wars and taken that from being like, do you remember when Episode One was coming out? Like, that was like a fucking moment, man. Like it was the summer. You were going to see Star Wars. Like, it was, everybody was talking about it. It was the thing.
Yeah, that was the moment where I stopped being a Star Wars fan.
You know, like that, but that was our childhood. Like,
yeah, but midichlorians. Fair. That's but like, that was where it lost me.
I get that. We talked about that. But, like, my point is, like, the feel you got there, like, you're going to see Star Wars, you didn't get here at all.
No.
I wouldn't have seen this in theater, probably, because, you know, aside from the podcast. Would that mean I wouldn't have wanted to see it? No, because I would absolutely see it on Disney Plus
for cheap. Yeah,
I would. And would it have made a difference to me being on Disney Plus versus seeing on the big screen? I think that, like, maybe I'm not even going to say the stakes, but maybe just, like, you know, the scale of the stories and, like, you know, whatnot. I think it did translate to being okay to be on a screen, but it could have very much, like you said, just been another, make them all an hour long episode with a little more in between to tie it all together and give us four episodes like that. And it would have been probably a little bit better.
Yeah.
But with all the shit we've gotten, like, I think that this movie will be remembered maybe in 10 years. It's like, you know, was it a good Star Wars movie? No. But was it a fun Star Wars movie? Probably. A lot more fondly, people will look at this, I think, than Episode 9 forever, at least generally, in my opinion.
If this had come out on Disney Plus as, like, a special in between, like, say, a season 3 that we did get, and then, like, a theoretical season 4 that maybe we get down the road. If this has just been slotted in there, like they just did the Punisher one shot recently, or relating it to over on HBO, Euphoria did two specials between season 1 and season 2. If it slotted in kind of like that, then I don't think I'd have that big. I'd be like, I would have been like, well, that was a good diversion for an hour and a half. It entertained the way it was. It was a TV episode. We were fine with that. But that's the thing. This is a overly long TV episode that they showed on the big screen. And like, whatever else it is and however good or bad it may be, and I don't hate the movie. I want to emphasize that. I don't hate it. But I do feel a little insulted that they made me pay $20 to see it.
And you know, that is a extremely fair point, because like, this Disney Plus is already getting enough money through their subscriptions. They did not need to like, you know, wring a little bit more blood from the stone by putting this in theater, but at least they did it with a movie that at the end of the day was an enjoyable movie. Cause if they did that, you know, and I wouldn't have gone to see it, but if they did that and tried to like make it like more than like, this looks like a buddy movie kind of, you know, kid cop, old cop kind of thing. I would have been much more disappointed coming out at the end of it and having to pay
know.
For it.
I don't know.
I'll tell you that much.
Now you have me wanting a Kindergarten Cop remake starring The Mandalorian, and maybe I'm in for that. Okay.
You know,
maybe.
Can you imagine a little class of Grogu's there?
Exactly,
like,
that's what I'm saying.
Who is your daddy? And where can I locate him?
And they're all like, you are. And he's like,
Shit.
I don't know why Hollywood doesn't pay us to make their movies. We have so many good ideas.
There's some really good ideas out there. I mean, you know, we got to start trademarking this shit, right?
Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, no, it's a fine movie. It is what it is. I don't want to hate it the way other people do. I don't want to like it the way I want to like a Star Wars movie. I'm still waiting for that Star Wars movie to come along to redeem itself after it lost me at episode one. Episode 3 was fine. Episode 8 was fine. But Rogue One is the closest I've gotten to a Star Wars movie that I've really cared about. And, like, more than that, the only time I have felt really enamored with Star Wars has been Andor. And that show is fucking legit. This is no Andor. I would rather have a movie with Andor in it, you know?
And then that got canceled. So,
No, it just ended. It did its story. It was perfect.
All right. I thought it got canceled.
No. It was, the original plan was for it to be 4 or 5 seasons. But then when they were getting the second season going, they realized that they would be doing this for the next 10 years. And the guy who was making the show was like, dude, I don't have that in me. So he condensed his big story down to 1 season, which, by the way, 12 episodes of perfection. It is fantastic. You should see it. But he basically condensed his story down the right way. And that second season is everything that story needed to be. Andor is the best Star Wars I have seen since the original trilogy.
Interesting. You know, I'm going to watch it because, you know, I've pushed off so much Star Wars because it's nothing but disappointing. So, like, to hear that from somebody I know has opinions like I opinion on these things, and like, I'm a little more kind on some angles of Star Wars than you are, and that's completely valid. Like, to hear that from you, that makes me want to watch it.
No, it's good. Okay. It's good.
All right.
So, this is fine. It is what it is. It's whatever. If this had come out on Disney Plus, I'd be maybe not singing its praises, but I wouldn't be shitting on it. I just don't like the fact that they forced us to watch this movie in theaters. And that's that end of the day, that's my problem with it. Outside of that, it's fine. It is what it is. I had no expectations for a Star Wars movie, and it didn't meet them. So,
that's a good thing, right? Because I went in this, my bar was low, man. Like, it was low.
Right.
And you know what? Once you got over that, like, with just the funny alone, like, I was all right. You know what? I didn't want to... I saw it at 10:30 in the morning, so I paid like $20 total for the two of us.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did. Yeah, I matinated at 1 p.m. Like, this is as much as I want to pay. We're good.
I am not paying primetime prices for this, but you know what? You'll get my money at this point. And I enjoyed that more than I thought I would. And that, you know, that was a nice Sunday morning with the wife. And I'll take that. I haven't gotten a nice Sunday morning Star Wars with the wife probably in like a decade.
Yeah, that's fair. So it is what it is. I mean, if you go to see it, which if you can even find theaters at this point, yay. If you
just wait for it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I think that's the lesson. Ah, well. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, reminding you that the Mandalorian once famously said, get to the choppa. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy, Mike the Ghoul, going to go cash in like Scorsese and Sigourney Weaver did in this movie, the easiest money they ever made, I think.
We will see you all next time.